Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light and want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Lunar Night, and it is the second day of the White Wind Wave Spell. And it is also the Crystal Moon 7, the seventh day of the Crystal Moon. And I will refresh your memory or tell you for the first time, if you're new, that the moons that I talk about are 28-day months, that the natural time year, based on indigenous cycles, is 13 moons of 28 days each, and the math of that is 13 times 28 is 364 days, with a day between years. And the natural time year begins on July 26th. So the crystal moon is the 12th moon of 13. There is still one yet to go, and that will be called the cosmic moon. But the second to last, the crystal moon, is sort of the end of the storyline of our year. The cosmic moon is more about the experience of having lived out a story, you know, the after effects of it. But right now, anything that was in upheaval, anything that feels like an unresolved lesson or interaction with others will eventually, I believe, in this next 3 weeks of the remnant of the crystal moon, become complete in some way. It could be like the end of a chapter rather than the end of a whole novel. It could just be resolutions that also have larger lessons that are unfolding still. But really, I believe if you are able to pay attention and also reflect back that you've had a year per the Mayan cycles, it's not mid-year anymore if we're tripping out on natural time. It's instead the culmination, the final stages of a year. If you slip into that mentality, that viewpoint, and think back to last summer and early fall and what kinds of things began for you then, I think you will see that they are finishing. One primary example I want to put out there just for you to reflect on is who you met for the first time last late July, August, early September. Or it doesn't have to be a stranger that you've never encountered before, but who surfaced in your life relationally, who became suddenly the focal point of an exchange or some kind of intimacy, and where is that now? And then wait and see if there's any kind of completion to that in the next 3 weeks, the remaining 3 weeks of this crystal moon. Some words that go along with the crystal moon are to cooperate and dedicate and universalize, and those are the themes that are also kind of attached to resolution, is getting along, working together, gathering, and dedicating to me always indicates being concerned with someone else, wanting to pay homage or respect. So that would be another connective effort in this time. And then universalize is to switch our attention to something not self-specific, but that affects the whole, the greater whole. So all of that reminds me very much, as I often speak of, I did last podcast, of the end of big Shakespearean plays where everyone who's been off in pairs and quartets and separated, and there have been misdeeds and strange happenings far removed from the city center. Everyone comes back into town, and there's this gathering of everyone who's been apart suddenly is congregated once again, and that things are quickly made plain. There's no longer confusion. Everything gets resolved. And I think that's a really beautiful archetypal way to consider the crystal time. The other reminder is that we don't just have crystal moons, we also have crystal days. And so every time we move through a 13-day wave spell in the Dzogchen, we will have a moment that's crystal, the 12th day. And we did recently, we're not in that part of the 13-day wave spell now, but whenever I talk about the moons, I'm talking really about the tones. The tones are the 13 expressions of Mayan sacred count. They were infatuated with 13 in a most mystical way. And their time was bound by the number 13, which wasn't just a number or representation. It was a picture of 13 stages of evolutionary growth. They're called wave spells in the modern language interpretation of the Maya. And I always talk about them as wave forms, as a span of time that is shaped like a wave that builds to a peak and then pitches over when it breaks and settles down and starts again. And we're in the part of the wave spell in the year that settles down. It's when things settle down after a wave has broken and all that churn and upheaval of water dumping on itself. Everything is then slowly bubbling back to a glassy surface, and we're in that action right now in our year, and it's powerful and beautiful. And it's a little easier, honestly. It's a little easier than the origin point of the first moons of the year. And then we can notice that in the Dzogchen right now, we are in the first days, the first tones of a 13-day wave spell. And I'll talk about that, how starting the 13 tones, the 13 days in this case, is a little rocky. And there are reasons for it. I do want to first just mention, though, as we leave this red week in the East, initiating, and you can again, see, what did you initiate in the last week? I won't answer the question. I was just sort of thinking for myself. It's just like, yes, if you sit down, if you journal it out, or you have a meditative moment, something will come to mind. As we move into the white northern week, what I would like to say is that I think it's a very spacious week. I think there's a little bit of effortlessness to the second week of the moon, in that it can feel kind of in that space, it can also feel a little like there isn't a lot of upheaval. There's not a lot of drama. Things are being turned over to a higher power as you perceive it. The north is the place of spirit. Our spirit, you know, our inner spirit is attended to in this place, as well as that matching divine spiritual energy that we can call God or whatever we like. That also lives in the north. So when we touch into the north in any situation of the medicine wheel, whenever we hear the word white, that we're in a white wind wave spell right now, that is also in the north, a place of spirit. Just remember that we are spirit, like we're eternal in some way, and we rejoin the spirit world when we die, when we are no longer incarnated. And so that, my belief, interpretation, which is not original, but just I also believe, along with many other disciplines, that we have this spirit inside our physical body, and it looks very much and acts very much like the spirits from the spirit world. It just happens to be kind of, you know, ours. And so the week in the north can be an exploration of our own spirit self. And for that reason, I just think that things are more spacious. I'm going to stay with that description. It's more spacious than condensed. And I think it's preparatory because the third week of each moon is in the west, the place of water, blue water of the west, and transformation. So it's good to have like calm or open time, more space, because that week is very fast churning also, like the wave break. And this is a moment when we're almost anticipating it by taking our time. And purification happens there. That's the word for the week, to purify. And I think that kind of attends to all those ways I just described it. You can imagine sage smoke or some kind of holy atmospheric blessing coming through your life in this time. And then I will mostly want to talk about the White Wind Wave Spell, which began yesterday. That would be Tuesday, June 4th. And White Wind is, gosh, just like an absolute, you know, it's the same, all of that that I just said, more of that. But let me just start with like how it is in the Zolk'in is that the first day sign that we have is Red Dragon. And then the second day sign is White Wind. And so I explained a little bit in the last podcast that Red Dragon is the, in the mythology of the Maya, all of life comes from the belly of the crocodile. And, you know, a crocodile isn't going to have a womb because crocodiles lay eggs. But the imagining here is that there's sort of this creature that lives in the swampy depths. And from there, all of life springs. And it's a nice parallel to how humanity is really a long evolution from creatures that crawled out of the ocean in epochs ago. And so it is almost accurate that we all come from the watery place. And then, and Red Dragon also represents the womb that we truly, each of us, emerge from, a very watery vessel of the womb. But White Wind, the second day, the next archetype that we consider in Mayan mythology, is when we take our first breath. And what I picture kind of traditionally is that you meet your father when you come out of the womb. Maybe you're almost the first encounter you have is with your father. And then we're in the father's world. And it doesn't mean that I'm buying into the patriarchy, everything that exists once you leave the womb is about dad. But it is a consideration that we sort of have to play with in this time, because there is this magic, this incredible alchemical transformation that happens when we're in the womb. We come from a seed to become this little being, and the being does so much within the mother's womb, just the two of them, that stepping into the father's world in this archetypal picture is impressive. So much has already happened. And then the child just grows to fill the space outside the womb. Like they talk about goldfish, you know, put a small goldfish in a bigger bowl and it'll get bigger. And that's sort of the human experience as well. You leave the womb when it's very cramped and you stretch yourself into the open space of outside the womb. And you are instructed there in a lot of things by a paternal protector. And White Wind is that. And it's also, you know, independence that comes by breathing through our lungs. And I think White Wind is a very independent time for a lot of reasons. It is the time of air, obviously. There's so many things that I've said about it in all my years of sort of meditating and teaching and talking, and I can touch on each of those briefly, and then more will come in a couple of podcasts. But it's the absence of material anything Wind is what moves things, but wind itself is air and can't be seen. It's seen by what it touches. And I think that's a thematic approach to white wind wave spell, is to see what spirit is moving in us, rather than any ability to see spirit, God, or what have you. Just notice how it's showing up, making itself known through the material objects in our life that are changing. Something's going to be changing in front of us invisibly, and we see the change by the manifestation in something alive, present, cellular, material. I mean, that's the trees, or it's a human speaking to us, because white wind is also communication of spirit. I think it's a very talky time. Yesterday on White Magnetic Wind, I had like 5 different long conversations on the phone. I sometimes go through a day without talking to anyone. And I, at the end of it, I was like, oh, that's right. White wind is a time when everyone has a lot to say. And that's good. There should be communication. It's not weakness to suddenly have a lot of expression. It's really common right now. That is our breath filling our lungs. That is us communicating our spirit from within us outward. Another thing about white wind that I have said or thought in the past is that it's a time of absence, that a prototype of a father in an ancient world is that they would be away from the hearth or home almost all the time. They would be growing food. They would be at war or protecting boundaries. They, you know, might be off selling things afar to foreign entities, but not hanging around the house. And so when we're truly in this indigenous consideration of a father protector meeting our father in space, in open space, I believe that this time shows us how we have to learn to trust the absence of men. That's very specific, but it is cold from experience that I've had. How do we trust the absence of men? And that means, how do we trust that men are still present, still caring, still attending, even when they are not right in front of us? And how do we grapple with the feelings of abandonment that can come from that experience, that situation? So, wow, I'm bouncing all over, and I'm also talking a lot. I mean, obviously, I have to talk to fill the podcast time, but I think that this kind of bouncing spillage is pretty indicative of white wind, changing winds. I'm not just trying to cop out here, but it feels that way. It's not unfocused. It's just there's so much. White wind is a very powerful force, just like red dragon creating a child. That's a very powerful force. Infusing our lungs with air for every breath of our existence is what white wind does and represents, and that's vast. And so is fatherhood. Fatherhood is vast, and it has a lot of elemental approaches that we can consider, and you will consider if you want to, and I will reconsider when we reconvene. I think that the last thing I can talk about as a seed for each of us to contemplate, if we like, is that it's a time of truth telling. So some of that is like, what is my essence that I need to speak aloud? You know, what does my spirit want to say? That's truthful. That's from deep inside. A well inside of truth comes spilling out. But I think we can learn truths about our lives right now, that we will be shown things by what people say, by situations we find ourselves in, that we won't be having many lies around us or coming through us at this time. I just noticed this on White Magnetic Wind, which is why I mention it. I was just like, oh, I found out the truth about something, and it hurt. It hurt. It did feel like abandonment. It felt like something that I thought was present and real disappeared. invisibly. Suddenly it wasn't before my eyes any longer, but that was the truth. The truth was that I had imagined something was close and important or connective to me, and the truth was it isn't. I know it'd be easier for me to tell the story if I were specific, but I don't want to. I just want to say that it's like an example, and this is not mine, is, you know, discovering your partner's having an affair. I mean, that hurts like hell. It hurts worse than almost anything, I think. But it's a truth that needs to be told. I do believe in this time that secrets, lies have no place. And I'm not moralizing. That's just my experience. And so that's kind of exciting. You can anticipate that if things are going to be truthful and you find out things that are hard or painful, trust the process because it needed to come to light. And this might be the moment when it's best suited to. And anything that hurts like hell in this time, because it is truth in your life where you've either been in denial or someone has lied to you, is going to be assuaged by the fact that there is so much spirit communication and spirit presence, not just our own spirit, which is a very strong part of us. It's indelible, it's eternal, but also the spirit world, however that shows up in your life, whatever your belief system is that connects you to it, you're going to have the help of all those angels and guides and protectors. So I will kind of quickly walk us through the next few days, and I just want to use that as my teaching lesson time for the episode. So if today is blue lunar night, lunar indicates the second day of the wave spell, day two. But just to touch back on yesterday, white magnetic wind, the first day. Magnetic definitely means one. I mean, that's what it's representing. And it's for the Maya, their numeric system is dots and bars, which is like saying stones and sticks. So number one is just a dot. It looks like a dot, but it's a stone, you know, it's a representation of one stone. And number two, lunar today, is two stones or dots. And then tomorrow, the electric day, is three dots, three stones in a row, like an ellipsis. And then the self-existing day, which is the fourth day of a wave spell, and that's, I'm talking about Friday now, that is four dots. And then when we get to Saturday, which is called overtone, it's five dots, and they connected. So they go from, instead of being separate little points or stones, into representing a stick, and it becomes a sort of stream instead of separate entities. And each of these first days of the 13-day cycle has a really strong presence and purpose and attending question that we ask ourselves as we move through it. And I just wanted to say what the questions were for these first 5 days of a wave spell. It would be the same for the first five moons of a 13-moon year. So on the magnetic day, first day, you say, what is my purpose? We don't say, this is my purpose. We say, what is my purpose? And we wait for an answer. First answer that we hear is like the best answer. And then the second day is lunar day today. And we ask, what is my challenge? And the implication is within our purpose, which we discovered yesterday, there's something that's challenging. A purpose is not all challenge. Some of it's like power to say, what is my purpose? We're going to get an indication of what our strength is. This is where you need to go. This is what you're good at. Run with this. This is important right now. This is what you're supposed to be doing. But within any kind of quest, with any kind of intent, with any idea of moving forward, a plan, there's some hurdle, obstacle that we are intended to bump up against and ultimately overcome. that's straight out of fairy tales. You know, the Herculean feats. And so we find out today, what is my challenge within my purpose and everything I'm sort of set up to face and do? What is it that I might have a hard time with? And we're going to find out today. We're going to get an answer. We don't have to beat ourselves up and go, oh, my challenge is X, Y, Z. I'm so bad at that. And then tomorrow, I love this question. The electric day, the third day, three dots. How can I best be of service? How can I best be of service? It's kind of a play on words, right? Because it's an electric day. Electric day, we get kind of a charge from a power greater than ourselves. We get infused with that kind of divine light. Things get a little easier, or it's like a reserve. It is a battery pack because we're on a quest. We need some power. And we use that power to, in turn, be of service to someone else. We find out for our wave spell, whether it's 13 days or 13 moons or 13 years, how can I best be of service? I have a purpose, and then there's something within it that's challenging. But rather than how can I get what I want, how can I make my purpose the biggest, best outcome ever, we're instead concerned from the very beginning. First 3 days, we evolve to ask, how can I best be of service? Meaning, what in my purpose is going to end up being of benefit to someone else besides myself? It's right up there in the front. So tomorrow you can play with that question on Thursday. How can I best be of service? You'll get an answer. And then on Friday, the self-existing day, the fourth day, it's what form will my service take? It's being more specific. We ask generally on the electric day, the third day, how can I best be of service? But then we dig a little deeper and we ask a little louder, like what form though will my service take? I'm going to be of service in this way. We'll get an answer, but we're going to get kind of a game plan, to-do list, a blueprint. We're going to understand the function more clearly so that we can take more specific steps as we move forward. And then on Saturday, the overtone day, the day when all those dots turn into a line, we say, how can I best empower myself? And in a way, it's selfish again. We're going to be of service to others. And then we flip back to how can I best empower myself? But I think it's how can I best empower myself with this concern now of a purpose, a challenge, and making sure I'm also serving others. I need some power for that. There's a lot. And it's true. I won't talk about it this week, this moment in the podcast, but I will in the future talk about how after you've hit overtone, the fifth day, the fifth moon, you can suddenly feel that you are set up. You have this drive, this fierceness, this radiance, so that you can continue on the journey effectively, powerfully, potently, because there's more to do. That's just 5 days. There's still 8 days after that. So that's not exactly fortune-telling for the next few days, but it's an emphasis on looking at how the days play out as, again, a story unfolding, a quest where you are becoming heroic in your own life experience and others. But this is really a trajectory of your own self-development, your own spiritual awakening. And these questions are a fun way to kind of repeatedly see where life is leading you. And so I always want to end with, well, why is it hard right now, Lisa Starr? I think it's hard right now, but not like horrible. I just thought White Magnetic Wind was really hard. It was hard to see some kind of truth. I think that that there's a shadow energy. This is my answer. Why is it hard right now? Because there's a shadow energy to every Mayan day sign. And that really, to me, is what makes life hard, is looking at the shadow, looking in the dark side of the moon, the emblem of looking where others don't want to go. It's scary. There isn't enough light, but we might pioneer our way into our own darkness and into the vaster darkness, conceptual darkness of every day that we encounter. And right now, we're in the darkness, the undiscovered, scarier parts of white wind. And that is represented to me by patriarchy, and specifically how it shows up in considerations of God, that God is in Christianity male, that even Buddha is male, and Islam reveres male prophet. And those are three big world religions, but just even in mythology from Greco-Roman culture, Egyptian, Hindu, there might be male and female divinities, but usually the king god is male. And that's just not the way it is in Mayan teachings. There are equal parental divinities expressed through red dragon and white wind. And so when we come through white wind, I think we deal with our father issues from our own family. I think we deal with that watering down, or the flow that happens from having a perception in world religion that the gods are male, that makes men walking around on earth somehow superior culturally. And that is, to me, the definition of patriarchy, is this presumption that there should be male hierarchy, dominion over everyone, and also women. And so I think this time of truth-telling is going to undo that in each of our psyches and each of our spirits, where we're holding trauma that has been at the hand of patriarchy. And by that, I mean these fixed ideas have hurt us, or we've seen people hurt in front of us and we've been witness or accessories to that pain. We have to grapple with that now to have our spirits be more true. And in an everyday colloquial experience of why white wind is hard, it can be hard to understand why men leave, why we can be feeling abandonment. I'm not saying that men leave now. I'm not saying that men go off to war or to farm and, you know, there's this gender separation. I'm just saying that the imprint, the ancient perception that's set up in these Mayan archetypes means that this is a moment to really explore masculinity and the essence of masculinity, and that there is a lot of air, invisibility. Like, where's my father? He's around, but he's just farther than you can see. He's actually keeping you safe, but from a distance. And that is something that can trigger us in this time. I'm a little triggered, but it never lasts. Best thing to do is to mention it, to speak it aloud, this talkative time. Just speak out what you're going through. Don't stay in secrecy. It's not worth it. This is a portal, this wave spell, for you to just talk it all out. I'm saying that with sincerity, not sarcasm. I'm going to go and practice this myself. And if you want to look at birthdays, go to resonanttruth.com. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in the cat.